Good morning. We're going to begin this morning with the update on the flood situation in Western Iowa, and then we'll talk about jobs and my Working Together for a Better Future tour after that. Last Friday, General Derek Hill and I both went to Council Bluffs, we visited the wastewater treatment plant and saw the preparation that's going on there. We also visited the site where they've had a lot of hundreds of volunteer sandbaggers that have helped in the community. We also met with the local officials, actually all along the river, from the mayor and leaders in Hamburg and from Fremont and Mills County and Harrison County, as well as Monona County and the folks in Pottawatomie County, obviously. I was very impressed with the local effort and the coordination that's going on between the state and the local people. A lot of work's been done. I think the concern now, of course, is as the release reaches is maximized here in the next couple of days, we'll see the crest. And there's not only a concern about that, but the fact that the duration of this and the impact that's going to have on the levees and also on the other protections that have been put in place. But I think they've done a great job, and I just would compliment everybody that's been involved. We saw their emergency headquarters there in Pottawatomie County, and I saw previously the one up in Woodbury County. I've got to say I'm really pleased with the work that General Hill's people have done at the state level, and also the coordination with the people at the local level. I'll turn it over to our Director of Homeland Security Emergency Management, General Derek Hill.
Thank you, sir.
Good morning, everyone. Communities have nearly finished their preparations with the assistance of the state and the Army Corps of Engineers. We've been working hard these past 2.5 weeks. Woodbury County pretty much finished. Fremont County still a couple of days out. As someone stated last week, we're starting to move into the vigilant stage, basically watching and making repairs where necessary, looking for water where we didn't expect it to be. Release at Gavin's Point will go to 150,000 cubic feet per second tomorrow. 150,000 cubic feet per second. That's over 1.1 million gallons of water will be going through the spill per second. 1.1 million gallons of water per second will be going through the spillway at Gavin's Point. Put that in another perspective, the highest previous release at Gavin's Point was in 1997 when they released 70,000 cubic feet per second. So this release will be double what the previous record was, more than double what the previous records were. Results will be seen in Sioux City on Wednesday, be in Council Bluffs by Thursday or Friday. We'll see the effect all the way down past Hamburg by Friday or Saturday. Water will continue to rise this week as much as a foot to a foot and a half in some places. We're busy watching the levees. We have the National Guard doing levee watch and levee walk. The Corps took them through a training course so they would know what they're looking for. We're watching the tributaries in the event of rain. We know the tributaries will be backing up, and then in the event of rain, there actually could be some flooding going on. We're continuing to watch critical infrastructure, being sure that those systems are still being protected and are continuing to operate. Two concerns that we have right now, concerned about the effect and the duration and the speed of this water coming down and what effect it will have on the barriers and the levees that have been put in place. We're also concerned about items floating downriver. There was a trailer home floating down the river the other day that got lassoed and got anchored to get it out of the pathway. Things like this can go down, create trouble with barriers when they bang into them at the speed that they're traveling, or they can pile, as we all saw in 2008, they can pile up against bridges and trestles and create a damming effect, which will raise the water level even higher backstream. Residents in the area of potential impact must be sure they are prepared to evacuate if need be. Levees may overtop or levees may be breached. Tributaries, as I said, will be backing up and very easily could be flooding themselves. As we say, plan for the worst, hope for the best. Thank you.
Okay, we'd be glad to respond to your questions. Yeah.
Quite accurate because it's going to stay this way for a long time.
Well, I think you're right. It's something that because of this significantly high amount of water that's being released, it's not like your typical thing when we have a huge deluge of rain and then we have a crest and it goes down quickly. This is not likely to happen. So that's one of the reasons why we need to be vigilant over a long period of time and continue to continue to examine the levees and make sure that they continue to hold over this long period of time, because they are estimating it's going to be several weeks, possibly a couple months.
How do you guard against crest fatigue?
Well, I think the good news is we've got a lot of people that are working together to do this. And it's a coordinated effort, and we've got a lot of volunteers that are pitching in and helping out. And so at least we've had the warning and the preparation, and it's just a matter of continuing to be vigilant through that whole period of time. Obviously, we're concerned about the disruptions that it have on businesses and homeowners. Many people are going to be displaced from their homes for a long period of time. Businesses, we heard about businesses in Hamburg that, have had to close down because they can't get rail service or whatever, even though you can still get to Hamburg by road. You have some industries there that rely on rail service that have been disrupted.
Is there any threat of the water going over any of the levees?
Yes, there's that possibility. For instance, Council Bluffs, they feel that the levee's probably 5 feet higher than. So they're not expecting in Council Bluffs, where they have, 28 miles of levees?
Yes, sir.
It's not likely to go over the levee there. There may be some other places where that could happen. In Hamburg, they're actually adding 4 feet to the levee at Hamburg. So they're in the process of doing that right now. Also, you have the railroad down in Mills County that's actually building up, that's causing some problems as they're using the county road system and whatever to haul dirt in to build up the railroad right-of-way so that the flood will not overtop the railroad right-of-way. This is the Burlington Northern Railroad. I think it's the Burlington Northern Santa Fe.
Can you give an estimate on how many people have been displaced, the numbers affected?
Right now, our best estimate is from the county EMAs, is the neighborhoods of their county, and looking at the utilities that are being turned off in neighborhoods. But my guess would be that so far we're reporting probably 100 houses, or excuse me, about 80 houses that are believed to be underwater right now, or at least experiencing flooding. I'm not talking up to the roof, but low-level flooding, and probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 600 to 800 residents that have had their utilities switched off. All up and down the river.
Yeah, and you have a lot of people that have been displaced from their homes, even though they haven't been flooded yet. You have people from Dakota Dunes, for instance, that have moved out and have moved their furniture and appliances and everything like that. And then I think in Modale, in Hamburg, Blencoe, there are many communities like that. Well, obviously, that will be reviewed by the Department of Transportation. So far, most of 29 is open. You've got a small stretch, I think 29 and 680, just north of Council Bluffs, that's closed. But so far, the rest of it is still open, but there's a possibility that there may also be some closing of 29 south of Council Bluffs as the water goes up.
Shape that you would expect them to be in.
Well, I don't. Maybe you can answer that question, General.
There's a lot of work that's being done. We've had some major boils develop down in Fremont County over the weekend that they are busily working on trying to sandbag and plug those. Also up in Mills County, we're delivering about 30,000 pounds of bentonite, which is an expansive soil. It'll expand about 8 or 10 times its volume once it gets wet, and they're filling holes there that animals that have burrowed into the levee have created. So, yep, there's a lot of work that needs to be done on these levees, but they're getting it done.
Do you think they have been ignored or neglected?
Well, they haven't been maintained every day or on a monthly basis, it looks like to me.
And obviously these levees, many of them have been there for a long time. And mentioned badgers burrowing. That's actually, I think, what caused one of the problems down south of Hamburg. So I don't know if you know much about badgers, but they can dig some pretty big holes. And so things like that are things that need to be looked out for.
I'm just wondering, I was in Lenco the other day.
Yeah.
Building the levee around.
Yes.
The town.
Well, I don't know. What they're doing at Glencoe and also similarly at Hamburg is designed to try to protect the community from flooding, obviously.
Yes, there are a couple of towns that, if you look at the inundation maps, it would appear that they are going to be completely surrounded by water, and the berm will actually be protecting the infrastructure within the city, but the town will be cut off. That would be up to the local authorities there, but probably you can imagine they're not going to have electricity going there.
and that's what's happened in South Dakota, you know, in the Dakota Dunes area. They basically evacuated that entire area, and then they have built a berm around the area, and so far, you know, they're continuing to monitor that, and we have eliminated watercraft travel on both the Missouri and the Sioux River so we can avoid potential vandalism and things like that.
Yeah, Senator Dvorsky told us this morning that Senate Democrats have agreed to the general fund spending limit, I guess the $5.9 billion. Do you feel like you're on the verge of an agreement and a legislative adjournment this week?
Well, okay, let me, since you asked that question, let me, I'd just like to start with a opening statement, and then I'll be glad to respond. As you know, I've been conducting this Working Together for a Better Future tour of the state, visiting with people all over Iowa. That's going to continue today and tomorrow. While a lot of the recent talk is centered around the budget, I want to remind everyone that our primary focus needs to continue to be on jobs for Iowans. We had a good week in travel last week and saw a lot of people, and I heard from a lot of business people about the concern about the extremely high commercial property tax, which has not been addressed in this state for decades. I'm absolutely committed to seeing that gets addressed as part of resolving the differences on the budget. In the travels across Iowa, Iowans made it clear to me again that they absolutely want to make sure that we address these critical issues to create jobs as well as make sure that we have a sustainable budget. If we're unable to compete with our neighboring states of Illinois, Wisconsin, and Indiana, let alone Manhattan, New York, Iowa companies will be at a severe disadvantage as we try to compete with China, India, and other emerging countries. For Iowa's employers, this is important because they should not have to choose between hiring somebody and having to pay extraordinarily high property taxes. For Iowa workers, they should not have to question whether their job will be secure next week or next month. For Iowa families, they should feel confident that we're doing all we can to make Iowa's environment positive for entrepreneurs and businesses to locate here. Finally, rural Iowa should see, instead of losing more and more of our Main Street businesses, we need to see a revitalization. You know, our Main Street program has been a good program, but the commercial property tax has been such an impediment that it needs to be addressed. I think, as I've said before, property tax reform needs to happen this year. Failure to do so again would be, again, kicking the can down the road, and that's happened for 30 years. And as you travel down that road, you see more and more empty storefronts. So that is a critical priority that I have in resolving the differences on this budget. Additionally, If we failed to cap residential and agriculture property taxes, we could see a $1.3 billion increase in those property taxes over the next 5 years, and that's clearly unacceptable. I believe that we can get something done. As you said, it appears that progress is being made on the budget, but you know, as they say, the devil is in the details. We want to make sure that the details are worked out and that we have not only a budget that's balanced for this year and next year, but something that's sustainable for the long term. That's why we're looking at a five-year strategic budget plan. I am encouraged that progress is being made, but I also feel very strongly that that progress needs to include the new Partnership for Economic Progress, so we have that marketing tool to help us bring the business and jobs, that includes reducing the commercial and industrial property tax and limiting other property taxes. Those things are critically important for us to have a successful session.
Meeting again this afternoon?
I will be meeting with, I talked with Senator Gronstahl privately when I was in Council Bluffs on Friday. I will be meeting with him again tomorrow. My chief of staff and David Roeder, director of management, will be meeting with the legislative leaders today. We're going to continue to work. There's some real basic things. We want to make sure that the entitlement programs are funded at the level that's estimated they're going to require, so that we don't just push that burden into the subsequent year as was done last year with indigent defense. We want to make sure that we're not using one-time money for ongoing expenses. In terms of the budget items, we just need to make sure that the decisions we're making are sustainable for the long term. Are there other questions? Right. That's not acceptable. We need to get that, and I think what's happened is maybe there's some misunderstanding, but there are some projects that have been approved by Economic Development for funding that the money's deauthorized on, and so we're working to try to make sure that they understand that this is something that's not acceptable. We need to have the resources necessary to be able to help communities to attract the business and jobs that we need. We're working very aggressively at that. That's why the Lieutenant Governor and the Director of Economic Development are on this trade mission. They've already made some good contacts in Korea that we think are prospects for expanding in Iowa, as well as marketing our pork and other products over there. And they're in China right now talking about similar opportunities. So we need to make sure that Debbie Durham and her staff have the resources they need to be able to do the job.
In talking with the Republicans in the House, that they seem to be espousing a philosophy that seems like you agreed with and maybe did on the campaign trail, that it's the commercial property tax relief and it's the business regulations is where the jobs will come from, not government creating jobs. And they say,
we agree. Well, let's put it this way. What we requested is very modest and not nearly as much as the state has spent in the past. But we do think that we do need to be able to have some incentive programs to in addition to reducing the regulatory and tax burden. So we agree one of the biggest things that we can do to create jobs in Iowa is to make it clear that Iowa is open for business by eliminating some of the regulatory and tax burdens. And that's the reason why I put so much focus on reducing the tax burdens where we're so uncompetitive. But in the bill passed by the House, going from 100% commercial property tax to 75% still leaves us not competitive with a lot of our neighboring states. I mean, we need to get to 60% to be competitive. So that's making significant progress, but it's not where we want to end up. And so I want to make it clear that my focus is on jobs, and I want to make sure that we have the flexibility and the tools to be effective. And certainly reducing the tax and regulatory burdens is important, but also making sure that we have this new Partnership for Economic Progress where we can attract private sector expertise from the Innovation Council, as well as private resources to augment what the state provides.
Then why not insist on going to 60 now? Why settle for half a loaf? It was 30 years when nothing happened. You have an opportunity now. If you let that go, it'll be probably another 30 years till they go from 75 to 60.
Well, the decision hasn't been finally made, and we're going to continue to work to try to get as much accomplished as we can. As I said, my goal is to get that down to 60% from 100%, because I think that's where we need to be in order for the state of Iowa to be competitive. It's also critically important that we limit the increases in those other classes of property so that we don't have a massive property tax increase on residential and agriculture as well. No, but I think it's going to be interesting that, you know, I think there's seven candidates participating in that, and I've got my hands full right here, so I probably won't even get it. Well, maybe I will. I'm going to be staying in Centerville tonight, so I'm on the road, but we'll see what happens, and it's still early in the process. Thank you.